Oh, preacher, there you go to meddling now. Jesus couldn't leave all enough alone, could he? From the very beginning, this is the first public ministry moment for Jesus. This is it. This is where he starts. And he's just about got himself thrown off a cliff. So, way to go, Jesus. Way to set the bar low, right? And, it's just incredible to think about this story. Now, we need to put it in context. Remember last Sunday, Jesus read the scroll in the synagogue. And it was that beautiful song of Isaiah about the year of Jubilee, the year of the Lord's favor, and about how there would be so many reversals of fortune, that the oppressed would be set free, and under the imprisoned would be set free, the oppressed would be released from their oppression. And then that one line that really stands out, I wrote about it, that one line that stands out to me is, "And the recovery of the sight for the blind." Because of all of those changes of fortune that he lists, that Isaiah lists, that Jesus reads, it's the recovery of sight to the blind where there aren't two people involved in the bad part of it. Wherever there's someone oppressed, there's an oppressor. Wherever there's somebody in poverty, there's somebody subjecting them to that poverty, at least in the way that it's described in Isaiah. And in this one case, this one line, right in the middle of this hymn, and the middle matters in Hebrew construction, rhetorical construction. The recovery of the sight of the blind. Because who do the blind have to blame for their blindness except themselves? Because it's not just eyesight blindness. And I know it's not just eyesight blindness because I had Betty Thomas here at 8 o'clock. And she knew what I was talking about. You know, Betty's got macular degeneration so severe now that she can tell light changes and stuff. She was really good, though, as she was progressing into that blindness. She could still tell that things were wrong on the altar. But she knew exactly what I was talking about. I mean, this is a spiritual blindness. And it's almost obvious, isn't it, that's what it is? Because This year of the Lord's favor is something that falls on everybody, on the oppressed and the oppressors. They all get the benefit of it. We all need to wake up to that. We all have a part to play. But these good people in this synagogue crowd that have heard Jesus and are puffed up because he's one of their boys, you know, "We remember you. You're Joseph's kid, aren't you? You know, one of ours." I mean, I know that because I saw Camden Chronic in a play last night. And I was proud of her, okay? And then the night before, I saw Daisy Jane Buck and Ian Garrett over at the Gospel play at the high school. Oh, my goodness. And I was like, I made sure somebody saw me shaking their hands. So I know this thing about, "Oh, Jesus, you're one of ours. Wait, way to go, boy, way to go." And then he starts to meddle in. But I'm pretty sure he starts to meddle in because he knows, based on their appreciation, their limited appreciation, that they haven't really heard what it means, that the blind have recovered their sight. Because they think they're not. They think they can see everything that is there to be seen. And they see Jesus and they're proud of him because he's one of theirs. And he knows there's more for them to see than they have seen. And so he pushes back. And he starts to meddle. "Physician, heal thyself." How many times have we used that phrase ourselves when we want to get back at somebody? Okay? And what Jesus does is to push back by way of that phrase. Surely you're going to say, "Physician, heal thyself." But you need to understand that sometimes God has intentions that aren't about you and who you are. And how puffed up you can be. God has intentions. God seeks the good for people who aren't caught up in your little circle, whom you would not call oppressed in the way that you call yourselves oppressed. And he's pushing. And this whole Naaman the Syrian thing and the woman from Zarephath in Sidon. Both those stories are stories that clearly say that Elijah and Elisha, who are really important characters in that story of who Israel is, especially as God acts out God's favor, that Elijah and Elisha what they have done is to seek the benefit of somebody who's not who? Not a Jew, but an outsider. What's God doing messing with those people? We're the ones who are oppressed. We're the ones who are made poor by others. You know, we're the ones who need to be set free. Right? And Jesus has to say to them, it's not about you. You need to leave, Jesus. Matter of fact, let me help you. We've got this place that's got a great view right before you. So there's the whole story, I think. I've embellished a little bit of it, haven't I? Am I off the mark, though? I mean, these two moments do go together, and they end in that horrible threat that they pose to him. And so what does Jesus have to do? And Luke is really good at this. Luke is the best of the gospel writers at having Jesus just disappear. You know, he was like, nope. You know, what's that line about being ridden out of town on a rail? If it weren't for the honor of it, I really would prefer to walk. That sort of moment. He just, off he goes. But he's made his point, hasn't he? Is that God's got intentions that include us, but aren't exclusive to us. That's important to know. Now, I preach this sermon all the time, don't I? This is one of Father Dan's two best sermons, isn't it? Right? Maybe I've got three. On a good day, I've got three. Right? It's not about us. It's about what God is doing. And God has got these incredible plans. Now, they may include us having an improved existence in one way or the other. But they hinge on something. And it is our blindness and our giving over to that brighter light that is God's presence in the world. Letting that show us who we are. Not just how good we can be and who we can take care of, but how we are also complicit and need as much help as the poor and the sick and the oppressed. And that's hard to talk about, especially on a Sunday morning. I mean, every single one of y'all put some effort into being here, right? Now, you've got an alarm clock, just like I do. Mine only goes off 4 times on Sunday morning. Do y'all know that story that I got a phone call from Susan Kurtz at 8 o'clock on a Sunday morning and I was asleep in my bed in Athens? Y'all don't know that story? It was wonderful. It was wonderful. I said, okay, just go ahead and do the readings. I'll be there. And I knew I could speed and get there in about 35 minutes. So I thought, all right, you know, if Susan tries to do a sermon, Lord knows what she'll do. She actually did a really good job, I heard. Okay. But I'll get there in time for communion, and we can do communion. So I get here, and they're walking out the door. We didn't need you. We did it all ourselves. We just opened up that little box and ate what was left. They were proud of themselves. They really were. It was wonderful. They didn't need me. We need God, though. I mean, because that's what was still in the box. That's what that moment was made of. And it's not about me. It's not about you. It's not about any one of us. It's about all of us and how big God's love is. Now, I don't know if y'all hear good news in that, but I sure do. Because I'm pretty sure that every single one of us somewhere along the way has counted ourselves as ineligible for God's love. And every single one of us along the way has counted somebody else as ineligible for God's love. But the good news is, God's got more than us in mind. I hope a light came on in your heart just now. You know, you heard me say this last Sunday, maybe the Sunday before too. This is the season after the Epiphany. It says on the board. I don't know. We didn't have a little card that said after small enough to fit it in, right?
There is not a season of Epiphany.
I'm wearing green because it's ordinary. I'm wearing green because we're just following orders. That kind of ordinary. It's organized ordinary. Not plain ordinary. But scheduled ordinary. This is after the Epiphany. And you know my contention is we ought to just call it the season of Epiphany. Look on your bulletins. We've still got the wise men showing up. We should have them headed the other way, by the way, in the picture, right? The light should still be coming on in our lives. That should be ordinary. We should be waking up to this. The blind should be seeing things they've not seen. We should, in our hearts, be realizing things we have not realized. That should be ordinary. And that it should be ordinary is as much good news as anything. Because that way, everybody gets a piece of it. Not just the fancy folks. Not just the ones you know. Not just the ones who can afford tickets to two dramatic productions two nights in a row. I mean, it wasn't that expensive, but you know what I mean. No, it's everybody, you guys. And that's good news. Amen.